Hi, I'm Rachel Hopkin, and this is How Curious from KGOU Public Radio out of Norman, Oklahoma. How Curious is dedicated to bringing you stories about lesser-known aspects from the Soon Estate's past and present, people, places, and events. Today's subject was suggested by Canadian folklorist Ian Brodie. Ian's a professor at Cape Breton University, but despite being based thousands of miles away and only having visited Oklahoma once, he's a regular How Curious listener. And when I ran into him at a recent conference, he had an idea for an episode.
The topic was the parking meter.
Ian's interest had been sparked by his own research.
I've been doing this work on a local song collection that happened in Sydney, Nova Scotia, the city where my university is located. The show was called Dishpan Parade, and they started a song contest where they wanted people to write new lyrics to songs of the day.
This became a popular segment of the show and resulted in many songs, including this one.
I came into Sydney with the load of wood. I stopped my horse on Charles Street to buy some goods. I tied him to an iron post, there's plenty there, when an ossifer came up to me and he did blare. Put a copper in the parking meter. Put a nickel if you're going to stay late. Can't you read? It says violation. And if you don't pay, we will see the magistrate.
Peter at the Meter, written and performed by Hugh McKenzie to the tune of Casey Jones, dates from the early 1950s. It was one of the most popular songs on the show, but certainly not the only one inspired by the recent introduction of parking meters to the area.
And they're all basically on the same theme, that there is this correlation between if you don't put money in the parking meter, you are going to be sent to jail in some capacity or other. And I'm reading the history of the parking meter, and we bring it back to Oklahoma City.
Indeed we do, because that's where the parking meter made its debut.
This is what you got me.
Jack McElroy is a former newspaper editor, and he's showing me a gift from his wife, a parking meter.
This is not the original, but it's very early. The brand name is Dual. Dual stood for the dual function of keeping time and collecting payments.
Jack became interested in the parking meter whilst writing a biography of the man credited with inventing it, Carl McGee. McGee wore many hats during his lifetime, including that of founder of the Albuquerque Tribune, where Jack worked for many years.
But what was really interesting were the tales about how he had gotten into a fist fight in the middle of the New Mexico state capitol, that he had shot a judge and accidentally killed a bystander, that he had broken the Teapot Dome scandal, which was a big political corruption scandal. Then people would say, and he also invented the parking meter. And it was like, how does all this go together in one guy's life?
Educator, lawyer, newspaper man, amongst other things, Carl McGee was born in Iowa in 1872. He moved around quite a bit, but by the early 30s, he'd been living in Oklahoma City for a few years after relocating here to start another newspaper. But one venture wasn't enough for him in a surprisingly bustling metropolis.
Even though it was the Depression, Oklahoma City still had a lot of boom happening there. Oil had been struck almost underneath the city, and there was a lot of cars, more and more cars, and it was a mess. The police tried to enforce it by putting little chalk marks on people's tires and saying you could only park there for so long. But people could just move their cars a little bit or brush off the chalk. It was very ineffective.
In 1913, there were an estimated 3,000 cars in Oklahoma. 2 decades later, there were around 500,000. Something close to chaos was resulting, so the city formed a traffic committee, and McGee was appointed chair.
And what happened was he was looking out the window of his office at the street with all these small shops and restaurants.
Henry Grabar is the author of a recent book about parking named Pave Paradise.
And he noticed that all the parking spots on the street were taken first thing in the morning by all of the people who worked at those local businesses. They showed up first when there was plenty of parking and they parked all day. And when customers showed up, people showed up to eat in the restaurant at midday, they found there was nowhere to park. And so his idea was, if we start to meter this space, even just by a small amount, we can ensure that there's turnover. And the people who need to park for 8 hours will drive a couple blocks away and park there for free. And people who need the parking just for 15 minutes or an hour will be able to find it.
What McGee invented was the notion of a mechanical device to watch cars.
H.G. Thewison was an engineering professor at Oklahoma State University, then Oklahoma A&M. Many years later, he was interviewed for the Oklahoma Historical Society's oral history program and recalled McGee's approach.
He proposed to our dean that we conduct a contest among our students. Then he pulled out five $100 bills. Well, around here in 1933, we didn't see many $100 bills. The contest was conducted and five or six designs were submitted. Well, the designs were fairly amateurish. So I approached G.A. Hale, one of my former students, and also at that time a staff member. I said, let's build a model of this thing. Maybe lightning and strike and we'll get in on this parking meter deal.
The three of them teamed up. They connected with a company in Tulsa.
It was called McNick.
And then McGee started pursuing the legal side of it.
Now, McGee was a lawyer, and he knew you could not rent the street because the streets are dedicated to the use of the public. But he found that you could assess a fee for policing traffic.
And ultimately, it went to the Oklahoma Supreme Court, and the justices ruled that this was an appropriate way to regulate traffic on public roads. And from then on, they were accepted as perfectly legal.
Tomorrow, Oklahoma starts enjoying its new parkometers, read an ad in a local newspaper in July 1935. It heralded the imminent arrival in the city of around 170 meters on 14 of its busiest blocks. A lot of hijinks ensued, according to Jack McElroy.
A couple of little British Austin automobiles squeezed into one parking space to kind of thwart the rules there. Some people set up a bridge table. They put their coin in the meter and rented the space. A guy tied his horse to one.
Remember Peter at the meter?
So people began to establish the love-to-hate relationship with parking meters that has really endured ever since.
I'll read you this. This is from a trial.
Henry Grabar.
So Oklahoma City did a trial where they had one side of the street that was metered and the other side of the street that was unmetered. And here's what the city manager had to say about that. He said, on the unmetered side is confusion, cars jammed together, fenders being bent, cars being pushed in front of fire hydrants, and traffic being impeded by those who are trying to back into cramped parking spaces, while shoppers can hardly find parking spaces open. On the metered side is order, sufficient room for every car to be parked and driven out quickly and easily, and there are usually parking spaces open so that shoppers can park within a block of any store or bank.
Within a month, McGee's company had inquiries from many cities, New York, Toronto. It so met a need that it was instantly successful.
We are in Russellville, Arkansas at POM Incorporated. My name is Seth Ward, and I'm the president of POM, and we make parking meters here.
POM Incorporated is a descendant of McGee's original company, and Seth showed me around.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, this is our Museum of Parking Meters.
This is incredible!
I counted around 60 on display.
We made all the ones on the top shelf, but mainly the bottom two are competing meters.
Have there been times when you've been particularly struck by something? Any particularly memorable encounters with a parking meter?
I'm always photographing parking meters when I go on vacation, and people will, you don't have to pay them, it's Sunday. And I'm like, I'm not here to pay them. I'm just here to photograph them. Generally, I find something not to like about any of my competitors' meters, and I find something to love about any of mine.
From its inception, the parking meter has needed three things: a means of collecting payment, a timer, and a signaling system to show when paid time has expired. With that in mind, I asked Seth what have been the major changes over the decades.
Initially, parking meters were completely mechanical.
They ran by clockwork, and attendants would wind them up on a regular basis.
But then electronics came on board in the 1980s.
This variously involved battery and, later, solar power.
Then the big thing that came along was credit cards. That's really convenient for the cities because there's fewer coins to collect. You can charge more for an hour of parking. You know, people just don't have 20 quarters in their pocket, but they'll put a credit card in and pay an equivalent amount. Now what has come along is pay by cell, and that allows people to park without using a parking meter at all, potentially.
As you might expect from a man at the head of a parking meter production company, Seth identified several problems with this, including privacy issues and high service fees.
One of the ways to get around that are connected parking meters. And the way that works is you buy time on your phone, and then it shows up on the parking meters.
Any which way they function, it'll probably come as a surprise to no one to learn that there are those who try to game the parking meter system.
One of the things people do is called coin on a string. That is drilling a tiny hole into a coin and tying some thread around it and dropping the coin in and then pulling it out. And actually, a long time ago, we had teeth, so the coin could pass through the teeth and it couldn't pull back up. But that created coin jams and other problems. So now we do it electronically, and if the coin goes down, it registers time, but if it comes back up, it takes that same amount of time away.
It smells of what?
Yeah, machine oil.
Seth has been at the head of POM Inc. since 2013.
So when I came here, I noticed that our name was not on our meters, and I thought, well, that's crazy. We should put that on there. So our new meter, it's Parkometer, really big on the front, and I discovered why it's not on there. A lot of times when something goes wrong with the meter, most of the time, in fact, it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the city. But the public doesn't know that. And so once we started doing that, we started getting calls.
That makes sense. So now I take it you don't put the name on it anymore.
No, it's still there, in fact.
It is? But
yeah. My favorite was a man who called me, left a message and said, I want you to know, I don't hate you, but I do hate your product.
I was really struck by the range of colors the parking meters came in.
It's a lovely golden one and with a really, really big display.
I love that color gold. In fact, we used to sell meters in Australia at an installation called the Gold Coast. And they had meters that were that color, and the parking meter maids were all beautiful women in bikinis on roller skates.
No way.
Yeah.
No offense to Seth, but this sounded so fantastical I checked up on it when I got home. And apparently, when meters were first introduced to beachside parking spots adjacent to the Gold Coast, local business people were so concerned that tourists might be put off, they introduced courtesy maids who would actually walk around the streets of this surfer's paradise, dressed in golden bikinis, wearing jeweled tiaras, and they actually fed any meters that were close to expiration.
Lovely Rita, meter maid, nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away.
Well, let's hope it's only your heart being towed away, because people can get awfully angry if it's anything else, as this clip I found on YouTube admirably demonstrates.
Now, it looks like an expired meter. They didn't come back in time, those guys.
That guy's sawing off the meter.
The video's titled Guy Cuts Parking Meter in Half with Chainsaw. Goodness me. Henry Grabar has some ideas about why getting a ticket for an expired meter can be so provoking.
There is a sense that parking should be free. That is the natural state of parking. And so any deviation from that is something to be gotten out of if possible. Now, I don't like paying for parking either, but when you think about how valuable the city real estate is, I think it's perfectly reasonable that you would pay to occupy that real estate for a certain amount of time.
It's a democratic device.
Chet McElroy.
We may hate it, but it metes out its rewards and punishments equally to anyone who uses it. And if you violate and get a ticket, well, it's your own fault.
Many thanks to Jack and to all of the contributors to this episode, and to the Charlie Stephen Collection at the Beaton Institute at Cape Breton University for the use of the Peter at the Meter song. And you can see some photos related to this episode on our webpage. Just search for KGOU and How Curious. How Curious is a KGOU public radio production. The managing editor is Logan Layden, David Gray composed our theme music, and I'm Rachel Hopkin. And please let us know if you have an Oklahoma-related question or idea for a future episode. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at curious@kgou.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.